Praise the Lord for this time together. It's a joy we can be here together in a larger number of saints. And we thank the Lord for this. As a royal priesthood, serve before God. Well, we read a few verses and heard a few things of this priesthood and read Revelation 22. And it touched me, it spoke to me so much that being a Christian is absolutely a matter of life. Not a method, not a practice, nor any rituals we exercise. It is about life. Right? And this, from the beginning, should be the case. Until the end of our Christian life. That lest not in between somewhere other things come in. We want to apprehend life and we are only here for life. So when we talk about the priesthood, it is really only a matter of life. Never a requirement on us, on my old fallen being. Never in any way this is able to obtain anything. But it is completely a matter of life. A matter of our trust. Everything comes from God. And through faith in His name. That's how I apprehend and gain a part in it. When I believe in Him. And this growth, he who receives life also grows in life. And this growth in life leads to this royal priesthood, holy priesthood. Last night we heard every one of us individually is a priest before God. But this is not enough. Our Lord wants a priesthood. Not only many individuals, individual priests that you don't know of each other. No, it is a church ministry, him priestly, interceding for one another, a serving with one another. This is glory. Lord Jesus. Amen. Yes. It is a priesthood. And it says also a royal, a holy priesthood. Of the priests we heard yesterday, one more point that we pick up. A priest is someone drawing near to God, right? In a very simple way. Put it simple. If I draw near to God, I have a kind of priestly ministry. This is wonderful. We all partake of this, otherwise we wouldn't sit here, right? Every one of us is a priest. Praise the Lord. And then it's about being a holy priesthood. What is it, being holy? In the Winter Conference 2021, Message 4, we spoke about being holy. I would like to recommend all of you take a look into it again. We printed out some little brochures of those messages. Take it with you. Feel free. I do not want to elaborate too much on it. It's the treasures we dig out earlier. Do it again. Every good housekeeper gets out things of his treasure, new and old. Our God is holy. Let me read. His whole nature is characterized by his holiness. We human beings, in our old nature, have no part in it. But God wants to sanctify us by receiving us as sons and daughters. There may be many religious concepts of holiness, but true holiness is completely different. It is wonderful beauty, this holiness. Right? That's why we need fellowship of what the Bible talks about, how we may partake of this holy nature. I looked it up where this word holy is mentioned first in the Bible, in the very beginning. It was at the time God created heaven and earth, and one day He picked up in a special way the Sabbath day, the seventh day. God was blessing this day and sanctified it. There are many days, 6 days, a lot of things happened, but one day God set apart. This day is something special. And that's where He says He sanctified this day. So many nations there are today on the earth, but God set apart one nation for Himself, Israel, the nation of Israel at that time. And today it is us, we who believe in Jesus Christ. This is what is a saint, set apart for God, not common. We are a special people, right? Not as the world is. But God has set us apart. So don't be afraid if you are different from the world. It wouldn't be good if you were like them. It is an honor. It is a glory that you can be different. God called us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Right? That's the first what it means to be holy, set apart for God. And together with this goes purity. If He sanctifies, He also cleanses, He purifies. There is a nice verse, Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. Your husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. It's 25 and 26 in Ephesians 5. He sanctifies and cleanses her. Today, we do also have a washing of the water in the Word. And thereby, the Lord cleanses and sanctifies us, right? The world wants to defile us. It's an adulterous generation, as the Lord says. Corrupted. But we are different. We do not have a part in that. Even if they think everything they do is normal, we are not like that. We are pure and holy because the Lord made us that way. And one more thing, let me add. To be sanctified is to be only for the Lord. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 2 and 3 says, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Well, but I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. My, do you not want to be like this? Simple and clean. Whenever the enemy comes, he cannot deceive us. Our thoughts shall not be deceived, not by anxieties, not by sorrows, not by desires. We want to be pure and holy to the Lord. We are betrothed to Him, to be simply only for Him. Lord Jesus, isn't this wonderful? I only want to be for my Lord. Amen. And then, this is having a wonderful consequence. When you are sanctified in such a way, right? You can behold the Lord. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people, and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Peace with everyone, and two things. If you live in disharmony, better take care that harmony is restored quickly. Peace. And second thing is holiness. Otherwise, you will not be able to see the Lord. Revelation 22 says they will see his face. But it requires something. Holiness. That is holiness. Praise the Lord. This simply is God's work on us. But also, our portion is crucial. God, from His side, did everything. But it's not happening automatically that you partake of it. In the Bible, nothing is happening automatically, I would say. If you sit in your car and you switch on the engine with the key, it starts. But in the Christian life also, nothing happens automatically. It's a matter of life and of your free will. The engine, it's not his decision whether he starts or not. You decide. It's you. And the Lord also never takes your free will away. You have it. And that's why it is your decision. Your decision is crucial, important. Let me emphasize this and extend this even. Not only my decision from moment to moment, but it's my decision of a principal nature, if I may say that. The Bible calls this consecration. Consecration. I consecrate myself to the Lord. That means I transfer possession of my hands, my mind, my whole being to the Lord. Is this difficult? But there is a foundation, a basis for this, for doing it, right? It is not like I do it simply by myself. Well, that too, but there is a strong foundation. The Lord has purchased me. The Lord has purchased me. I am His. I belong to Him. But our Lord is not the one demanding this from you, requiring. He waits for your giving yourself to Him. But the basis is not your decision, but you belong to Him already. And on this basis, you consecrate, you give yourself to Him. These last weeks, I simply said that to the Lord. Lord, I simply belong to You. From head to toe, I belong to You. And the more I did it, the more my anger over certain things really decreased. That didn't play any role anymore. If I belong to the Lord, what does it mean if someone said something to me or something bad happened here? I belong to the Lord. And I've consecrated myself completely to Him. This is part of sanctification. This consecration, this sanctification, inseparably go together. Romans 6:30. Let's read these two verses. In these recent weeks, I read it a lot. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You give your members as weapons of righteousness to God. Excuse me. Lord Jesus, as those having been made alive from death, you think of the river of water of life, right? You drank a lot of, and then you give yourself to Him. You've been made alive. And now we even give our whole body to the Lord. Verse 22. Now, having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. Right? If you consecrated yourself in such a way, you will have fruit unto holiness. And at the end, everlasting life. Right? God's slaves, here I have to think of Revelation 22. It's the slaves serving God. And at the end, eternal life, says here. This reminds me of the precept in Revelation 22. This is really the goal. Now we consecrate ourselves, that we at that time will be able to serve together before the Lord in holiness and purity. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus. Amen. He calls us into His ministry. This is a big privilege. Well, this is now for us, personally. He called us. But as we had said already, God wants a priesthood. Not only each of us individually, but everyone. Together as a priesthood. In Romans 12, we read verse 1 yesterday. It is about consecration as well. Consecration. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Right? This is at the beginning of chapter 12. And the whole chapter 12 is about the church life. Where does this consecration usher into? Into the church life, the building up of the priesthood. Not only that I and the Lord have good fellowship, but that we all stand together before the Lord. That is a big privilege. To be able to serve the Lord in the church, that's a privilege. I would like to read verses to you. They were mentioned yesterday already, but never mind. Sometimes you ask, oh, is there anybody able to help with a children's meeting? And some think, well, can I do? Do I have the time? Do I have the strength? Is this something I could do? Well, let me read what the churches in Macedonia had an attitude. 2 Corinthians 8, 1-5. Well, moreover, brethren, we made known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. My. Amen. It was about collecting money for the church in Jerusalem. They were having a great need, lacking much, and they collected some money for them. And it goes on, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, even beyond their ability, They were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us, by the will of God. Isn't this wonderful? Don't we all want to have such a church life? Where the fullness of joy and the deepness of poverty abounds in the riches of our liberality. I don't look to me and say, oh, I'm so poor, I cannot give anything. I don't have the ability, the skills. I don't have the strength. Well, they could have said that. But something still flowed over, and the Lord can give into the riches of their liberality. Oh Lord, touch our hearts, Lord, that we would not hold back, but give our bodies as a living, holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. This is our most reasonable service. In order to serve the saints, we do serve one another, interceding for each other in prayer. That's important, right? If you are together in the home meeting, pray for the saints in your home meeting. Every day, pray for them. Think of everyone. Not only the one being sick, but everyone, even those doing well, they all need prayer. Pray for one another, helping one another. Lord Jesus, by this serving together, this priesthood comes forth. So much interrelatedness. How should I say? I have to add some more. Let me read 1 Peter 2, verse 4 and 5. Coming to Him, that means to the Lord Jesus, come as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. I like how it starts here, coming to Him as a living stone. We heard in the beginning, we come to Him as the river of water of life, right? But not only come to Him as the river, come to Him also as a living stone. The Lord is the river, and we need this river. The Lord is also the stone. Come to Him, a living stone. And the stone is for the building up of the house of God. So we come to Him. And what happens then? Then we are being built up as living stones. Not only Him, but also we. He made us. This is your destination. You belong to the house, into the house of God. That's how we are being built up to a spiritual house. This is a spiritual house.
Im Gegensatz zu dem Haus des Tempels, das aus Stein
formally I understood the temple was built of stones and of wood, and this compared to that is a spiritual house. Well, this is not wrong, but it's much more included here. It is a spiritual house. The building takes place in spirit. Sometimes you think, if we all understand each other, well, this is building up. Well, it may be part of it. Of course, you're fighting all the time. There is no building. We need peace for that. But only doing good to each other is not building up. It's spiritual house and holy priesthood. These two terms should impress us deeply. There is and was always saints being able to do well to each other, but all of a sudden, troubles came up. All of a sudden, strangely, problems came up. Or Jesus. It may have different reasons. Oh, it's his fault. No, it's my fault. Your fault. This doesn't help. And now analyze and have discussions, debates over and over. Well, we need a spiritual house. Our relationship is a relationship of love and of the Spirit. If there is a problem, then we have lacked the Spirit. I would simply put it that way. And if it happens, you'd better turn to the Spirit and not reproach each other. But I turn to the Spirit. Lord, if I lack Spirit, I want to have more of the Spirit. Lord, my relationship shall be spiritual, not in the sky, somewhere in your imagination. All men have kind of love, right? Less, more or less. But the Spirit also has love, right? It's the Spirit of a sober mind, isn't it? You shouldn't think, if I'm in spirit, then there is no more love. And so abstract everything. Well, no. The Spirit is full of mercy, full of love, and full of wisdom and righteousness. Full of the humanity of the Lord. Right? And there is a difference. Our human love, natural love, is more like sympathy. According to your preferences, you go to the people you like and you withdraw from those you don't. That is your natural love. But the spiritual love is the same to everyone. The saints are all lovable to you. Of course, with one you have more to do, with others less. It cannot be different than that. Don't exaggerate. But if you realize, oh, I try to avoid that person, that's not good. Give it to the Lord. We want to have the same love for everyone. And if I'm too close to someone, then better check it before the Lord. It should be a spiritual relationship. Only then can be of duration, withstanding before the Lord. It's a holy priesthood. And a spiritual house. With the holy priesthood, we sanctify ourselves, and we sanctify ourselves for the saints. If I come together with other saints, this sanctifies me already. Before that moment, I thought bad things. But when I come together with the saints, I realize, oh, that was not important, what I thought before. was quite off the point. This sanctifies me. Oh, simply this being together. I do not have to tell my problems to everyone. They simply come to the saint and I am sanctified. Praise the Lord. Then you realize our conversation now goes into a direction not so good. Then you will start to sanctify yourself. You pray inwardly. You say something in the love of the Lord. Not with the sword smashed through, crushed. No, do it in the love of the Lord, leading everyone back to life. Then you will sanctify each other in the love and wisdom of the Lord. Amen. Then I find so beautiful here that these things are mentioned together. We are being built up to a spiritual house, to a holy priesthood. Not even an end, but it's in between. But it is simply one and the same thing. The spiritual house is the priesthood. And the priesthood is the spiritual house. You see the same thing in Revelation. The city and the priesthood is all one. Right? This is a vision to see. You have to see that. Say it to the Lord. Lord, show it to me.
Amen.
Out of this serving oneness comes, I wrote down Romans 15, 5-6, the God of endurance and encouragement may be like-minded. Doesn't say that here. That you with one mouth glorify God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for such a church life where with one mouth we glorify our Lord Jesus Christ.
Dies Verlangen nach der einen Priesterschaft, dass Gott
this one priest God is expressing here, this desire for this priesthood he had from the beginning, from the Old Testament. When he brought them out of Egypt, he made them a priesthood. And when we read Psalm 132, it expresses this desire, this very desire of the priesthood God has, and he laid into our hearts very clearly. These three portions, Psalm 132, 1 Peter 2, and Revelation 22, they give such a wonderful picture, a beautiful display. It impressed me. Lord Jesus, Lord, remember David, all his labor, how he swore to the mighty one of Jacob and vowed. So here someone vows himself, consecrates himself to the house of God. He says, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. This place, Lord Jesus, this place for the Lord, the dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Oh Lord, this is expressed here. It's the spiritual house we just read, 1 Peter 2. And this is the one mentioned in Revelation 22 and also 21. clearly depicted before our eyes. It's His desire, His passion. David realized this. I think many in the people of Israel, they did not see it. They have not reached the heart's desire of God. They have missed it. What kind of people do we want to be? Do we want to know what is in God's heart? What is on God's heart? Do we want to see the city? The city, the place of God He desires. He has chosen. He wants to have. That is the spiritual house, the holy priesthood. Amen. And at this place are His priests, right? Verse 9, let's read, let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. Be clothed with righteousness.
Das finden wir auch wieder in Offenbarung, gell? Wo der Braut wird gegeben.
These priests have a special garment. The Revelation light is given to be clothed with garment. Fine linen. It's the righteousness of the saints. And in the same way, we today also have a priestly garment the Lord is giving us. That is, the righteous acts of the saints. And our righteous deeds done through and by the Lord. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness. And out of this comes the shout of joy from the saints. And then verse 16, Psalm 132, the priests have been clothed with salvation. And again, her saints shall shout aloud for joy. This salvation, something, this is what leads others to the Lord, right? Whenever someone knows and loves the Lord, there, His being, His nature, will be a salvation to others. If He comes to this person, then light shines. And by this light, He's being saved. Such priests the Lord wants. If you have a lot of objections, concepts, you may argue, explain your argument, or you could simply come into the light, as it was said last night. And if you come into the light, everything's clear. If you stand in the dark room, you do not know what is going on here, what room is that. But as soon as light shines, everything gets clear. Right? So this salvation, this healing, comes from the Lord clothing us with righteousness. Lord Jesus, let's turn back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10.
Ja, dort wird nochmals einfach gezeigt, was wir sind.
It is shown here what we are. What God made us. This should be great to us and be clear to us. If God makes you something, you should know what it is. What we are. You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Verse 9. Amen. We are a chosen generation. The Greek word here is genos, genos, referring to our birth, our new birth generation. God gave us His life, His eternal life. We are a chosen generation. We have to praise the Lord and read this again and again and thank the Lord for that. We are a chosen generation. Not say, oh, I made this mistake and I fail here. No, say, I am a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. This is even a development, right? We will come to that in one of the next meetings. The royal priesthood. Before that, it was a holy priesthood. But here it goes on. It's a royal priesthood. A holy nation. His own special people. We belong to Him. Oh Lord Jesus. Lord, we're simply yours. Lord, we need to say that to the Lord again and again. We are your special people. The church belongs to you. I belong to you. The whole church belongs to you. We are a people of possession, literally. Simply your possession, Lord. Called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Right? Amen. Lord Jesus.
Wir scheinen als Gemeinde, indem wir die Tugenden dessen verkündigen. Lob den Herrn. Seine Tugend. Herr soll einfach hier scheinen. Seine Gerechtigkeit. Seine Heiligkeit. Sein Heil. Ja.
Sorry. He who comes to the church should see and feel here is the righteousness of God. Here is the holiness of God. The light is shining here. Here is salvation, yes. In His house is salvation. These virtues shall be made known. And then verse 10, a wonderful conclusion. You who were once not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy formerly, so to say, but now have obtained mercy. You may be thinking, oh, the Lord cannot do it with me. But that's why Peter is writing this here. Right? He knows our origin. We are fallen people. We have been fallen people. But God has chosen us. And we had not obtained mercy. But now God has been merciful to us. And for our whole life, we are just depending on His mercy. For the building up, for the holy priesthood, we need His God's mercy. Apply it. Never think, this is too high, too difficult to me. God is merciful to you. Even if you think in your eyes you are so incapable, unable to do things, God is merciful. God will not quench the smoking wax. He will not break the, but bruise the broken rod. He will show you mercy. Partake, let you partake. No matter what your condition is, simply come to the Lord. He will make you a holy priest. Not only you alone, but all of us together. No matter what the condition of the church is, God is merciful to us. And we do need His mercy, don't we? Lord Jesus. And we among each other, we are merciful, right? Don't judge the others. Don't condemn them. Don't reproach anybody. Don't blame anybody. But as you have received mercy, just let others receive mercy from you. Lord, we do thank you for your wonderful work on all of us. Lord, bring us unto full maturity, unto completion and perfection, Lord. We do thank you, Lord, that you have brought forth this holy priesthood, the spiritual house, and you're building us up. Amen. Lord Jesus.